Okay, welcome everybody. Thanks for coming out. I know it's an afternoon session, so hopefully you're all not too tired. I was a little nervous today putting together the demos because we've had some internet connectivity issues, and I'm still trying to get connected to one of my VMs, but don't worry, I was making some videos in my hotel room, and I'll be able to show that stuff to you. So I'm told that when you're nervous, it helps if the audience pictures me in my underwear, right? So. Maybe that was just something I made up. That's possible, too. Anyway, my name is Brad Bird. I work for a company called Systel Technology based in Ottawa, Canada. I work as a senior system center and virtual machine architect. So what I do in my day-to-day job is I only work with system center. So I work with service manager, I work with orchestrator, I work with ops manager, VMM, you name it. So if you have any System Center questions, please do feel free to come on up. Today, the session I'm going to talk to you about is using Service Manager and Orchestrator, and I refer to them as best in breed together. So a lot of people have seen demonstrations here at the summit with regards to Service Manager and Orchestrator. There's quite a few of you, I imagine, who know Orchestrator and who like it. How many people like Orchestrator or who use it? Yeah, so there's a good amount. What about Service Manager? How many of you use Service Manager? Okay, so it's not new. It's been around for a couple of versions, and SP1 has got some pretty key improvements. What I'm going to do is I'm actually going to talk about how you can get into using those products, because I get a lot of customers who come up to me and say, you know what? I like the new licensing model of the System Center SKU. It's great. I bought and I'm using Configuration Manager. And hey, I found out that I can use Service Manager and Orchestrator in there too. So how can I get into that? Because it's a big product. And truth be told, it is a big product. I'm not gonna lie to you. But there are some small things that you can do to get into it and start getting some of those benefits without going whole hog and going full bore into Service Manager or, you know, becoming a master orchestrator. There are some small things you can do in order to leverage these benefits. I'm actually going to talk to you about a standard scenario that we do most of the time in IT. That's the add, remove user process. I imagine most of you have added a user in Active Directory. Some of you probably even do that a couple of times a week. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to talk about that process and how we can get it into Service Manager and Orchestrator. I'm going to use that as the scenario to discuss the building blocks. I'll show it in Service Manager, how you can kind of use that. And then I'll show it in Orchestrator all by itself, just a minimalist way that you can get it going. And then I'll talk to you about a customer scenario that we've done very recently for a large government department in Canada where they wanted to leverage the System Center Orchestrator and Service Manager for their user onboarding process. And then I'll talk to you about some future considerations and how we could work with that and some sort of ideas that they had going forward. Okay, so to start things off, what I'm going to do is I'll talk to you about that manual process which we do on a day-to-day for that add, remove user process. And I'll discuss how you accomplish that using System Center Service Manager. So for the add, remove user process, you've got some standard elements to that, and you've got some non-standard elements. Non-standard elements can be leveraging attributes and things like that. But you've got these standard elements, which, you know, everybody has to do because they're required, right? With an add, remove user process, what are some of the required elements? Well, you need a login name. And you need a password. Okay, so you'd require that for every account. But standard fields that you'll tend to fill will be first name, last name, display name, how that looks in Active Directory. So that's how it would come up in a search, right? Password is pretty standard, and policy-based elements can reflect the password or not. You may have some group policies that you've configured to kind of help enforce your company's ideals for that process. Now, non-standard elements is what makes this process tricky. Okay? What attributes you use in AD? For example, do you want to include the location of the user? Do you want to give them an office telephone? Do you want to include the manager or contact name? Do you have access to the different organizational units that you want to create those accounts? How do you do that is different from organization to organization. Things like group memberships and descriptions also come into effect. Whether the profile is roaming, whether it's local to the PC, and also home directories. Very non-standard things, right? It could be standard in a company if it's a small organization. Maybe all your users have local profiles, and that's because you want to limit the bandwidth used over the network. However, some of them may have a home directory sitting on a server that you're using with group policy to redirect the folder. That's fine, but this process is pretty standard. Everybody goes through it, and how we do it differs greatly, right? So we're looking for some sort of consistency and things like that. Anyway, the process can be kind of painful if you do it from manually anyway. So how do we do this using Service Manager? Well, the process itself is quite well known, right? So we follow a procedure in order to create a user. So we can do that either by ourselves using the Active Directory GUI. We can do that using a script. We can use that doing a command line. Or we can have it leveraged through some sort of automation engine or triggered by a workflow, potentially in Service Manager, right? The two types of work items which I'll demonstrate this process sort of and talk about it being used are incident requests or service requests. Now, the add remove user process itself doesn't really tend to be a problem per se, unless you've got problems with the account, which could be, you know, password expired. Maybe you're using a consultant where he's got a time limit on his account and you might have an incident raised because he doesn't have access, and then you handle that. I'm not going to go too much into detail on the incident requests, although I can, assuming I can connect to the VM, I can try to show that. Otherwise, I'll show you off the video that I took in the hotel room last night. But generally speaking, the activity of add remove user is going to be a service request. It can be a change request. Now, it can be a change request on a network. Let's say you're using a service account and it's part of a project install or something like that. But strictly speaking, adding or removing users in Active Directory is not something that you specifically want to hold a change meeting for. That's a pretty standard process. So that'll tend to follow under a service request. Now, how can we make it so that we get some sort of consistency when we're following this process? Or since we're doing the same things over and over again, how can we make it so that we don't have to go into the GUI, type in the password, put the first letter, first name, and then the last character is the last name, or, fat finger the home directory location or something like that. It'd be cool if we could do that in some scripted way so that we can sort of ensure consistency, right, and prevent human error. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll actually demonstrate some sort of a manual process that we've done in order to get that accomplished. Let me just try one more time in the event that we have success to connect to my Service Manager environment. Internet God's willing. And I'll switch while we're doing that so that you can actually see what we're doing. So I'll just try once, and if it doesn't connect, I'll try one more time. If not, we'll jump straight to the video so that I don't waste all your time. Okay, let's give that a shot again. All right, we're in. Fantastic. Okay, so in the Service Manager console, I've got here some service requests that I can set up. Now, I've actually defined incident requests. You'll basically go into your work items section of the Wonder Bar over here, and you've got access to all the aspects of Service Manager that you can pretty much work with. Things like your activities, your change requests, your incident requests. Those are going to be your IRs for if an incident gets raised, your service requests, release requests, so on and so forth. The one I'm talking about is service request, and I've got this view over here that's called All Open Service Requests. So if I want to go and create a service request, I'll just go and choose the standard Create Service Request, and what that'll do is that will go into a screen where I can pick among some request offerings. Okay? So request offerings are just things that have been pre-set up in the system that have already some pre-populated values which I can use, and that'll bring up some sort of a form which I can answer some questions in order to get that set up. And those are tied to these things called service requests, which are really what I offer as an organization in order to accomplish this task. To make matters a little bit quicker, what I've done is I've actually set up a service request from a template which has got some pre-populated values in the form. So what I'll do is I'm doing it for a new user onboarding process. So I'll just type new in the search. And I'll fire up the new service request form. Okay, so what's involved with a new service request? Well, we've got this set up that basically here in the title, I've got that set up which demonstrates right here, create new user manual. And then we've pre-populated some things that'll be asked to the user, right? This is a very basic service request that I've set up. Remember, this is just a building block. So we've got first name that'll need to be populated, last name, start date, the manager required for the service request, and a phone number if required. So let's go ahead and populate that. So first name will be John McGee. Oh, no, it'd be good if he actually had a last name. His start date will start him on May 1st. His manager will define as Sean Kearney. And does he require a phone? Yes or no? We'll say sure, he requires a phone. We want this guy to receive calls. Now, since I'm the analyst who took the request, I'm going to put the affected user as me. Okay, I'm going to pick myself. Now, these items that pop up over here, these are users which appear in the CMDB of Service Manager. Now, that data had to get in there somehow. So usually, you'll either populate that data yourself or you'll connect to an existing system like your Active Directory. So Service Manager has these connectors that you can use, and you can populate information from Active Directory. You can pull it from the entire forest, or you can pull it from different organizational units, or you can do it sort of on a query basis as well. I'm not going to go too deep into that, but the fact that the information pops up there means it has to exist in the CMDB. So I'm going to go ahead and pick myself, and I will actually assign the service request to myself. Okay. So before I click OK, notice that the service request gets assigned an SR number. This is the standard sort of nomenclature from ITIL, right? Service request gets SR and gets a code after it. That's kind of like the numbering system. Now, for the service request itself, we've defined some activities inside the service request. Now, these activities, you could think of them as sort of the steps that are, remember I was talking about those steps that you do with the add remove user process, right? Now, mine actually, the first step, let's disregard that. It's actually not supposed to be here. I made a little boo-boo. The second step is create user. The third step is enable user account in AD. Fourth step will be set up a phone. Fifth step, I left that blank in case while we're setting this up, we have some extra steps that we got to consider. I've kind of left that available for the analyst to populate some information. And then the last step, I'm going to go and create a form that HR sends out to welcome the user to the company. So these are all kind of manual activities, but I'm taking advantage of that add remove user process, and I'm porting all those steps into Service Manager. Excuse me. So now if I go ahead and do that, and then I click OK, so that SR record, the 6232, that'll get created over here. Okay, so here's my new user request that got started, okay? So if I go inside, I can see the same information that I saw before it was created, right? I can see my activities, and I can see that really nothing's been done. Okay, nothing's been started yet. But for example, for this service request, in order to get activated, I have to go through the first step. So if I go in and view the properties, I'll see how that goes. So to start the ball rolling, what I'll do is I'll close out of this. Because these are activities, these should show up in my Work Items tab under Activities. So if instead of looking in Service Requests, I now look in Activity Management, and then I look at my manual activities, since that's the way I defined everything, and I look at all activities. I could have looked at all activities assigned to me, but I chose not to do that. So I'm interested in the activities that are in pending status. So this one right here is in progress, okay? So if I go and I go into the activity, so here I have the email manager to confirm request. We'll just take a second to get started. Okay, so I've got my activity over here. So I can fill in some data, provide comments, so on and so forth, everything that I need to do to carry on with the activity, right? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to assume that, you know, I've already done my homework and I've done the verification with the manager in this case, and I've sent the email. So what I'm just going to do is I'm going to mark this activity as completed. I'll say, you know, email sent, and then I'll click OK. So then if I click OK here, what this will do is this will process this activity, and then it'll move down to the next activity in the list of manual activities, right? It'll keep going and keep going until I get to the end of the activities, and then what it'll do is that will actually mark the service request as no longer pending or in progress. That'll mark the service request as complete. But all I've done is essentially I've taken that add remove user process and I've mapped it into a process into Service Manager. Pretty simple, right? I've taken the steps and I've mapped those as activities, and I'm going through and I'm using the system to go through and create that. Now, some of you might be thinking that, hey, you know what, why would I do this? It seems like more work. To start things off in the way that I'm showing it now, sure. There's a couple of benefits that you've got, right? For example, all of this is tracked in the CMDB, so it's available for things like reporting. So let's say your manager asks you and says, you know what, we're thinking of hiring a scripting guy to help you out with your job. How often do you actually do the add remove user process? And you're like, I don't know, 2-3 times a week? You're taking a guesstimate. If you had a system like this where you've actually got all of the activities recorded, you'll actually see it in a report, how many times you're doing it, and you'll see it over a space of time, right? So there's some good benefits there. So you can make some conscious business decisions with that. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to flip back to slides. Okay, the thing that I did was I actually, the first request that I showed you actually was a copy of the second template that I made. So the only difference when we do the approval workflow is that you're actually creating a workflow whereby it, instead of being a manual activity, that could say be a review activity or something like that, where it might say send an email to your manager, he'd receive it, and then say approved, sends that back, and then the process completes. But if he does not approve it, you create the workflow with a trigger, then that would close the service request altogether, and the analyst would get a warning, say, you know, not approved. Please notify the user they're not the champion they're not authorized to add this user. Maybe there's some information needed for compliance, right? So there's I sort of already demonstrated that, and also there's a little bit of risk with the VMs staying up as long as they are. So that's sort of that add remove user process put into Orchestrator, and a little bit about how that works. Now, what if I don't want to do it in Orchestrator? I meant in Service Manager. So what if I don't want to do that in Service Manager, because I'm not going to leverage the product, but I do want to have some of the benefits of consistency. By the way, in Service Manager, I did speak about some ways that you can get some of that consistency, and there are some. So you saw in the service request that I was in there and adjusting manual activities and stuff like that. Well, in the service request or in those activities, I can configure these console tasks, which are basically the equivalent of being able to run a command line, right? So I can run a command line to, say, call a PowerShell script, run a VB script, go out, just run a command line, which has parameters that it allows me to ensure consistency. The cool thing about that, too, is let's say I've got a Tier 1 help desk guy, and I want to enable him to follow through the activity to go into Active Directory and create that user. He may not have the rights to go and create that user, but if you're using a console task in Service Manager, you can use Run As Security and equip that with credentials that he may not have. Right? So you're not giving him access to go onto the DC and log in and do this. He's running the console task, which has got the credentials inside and it's implied. Right? So the security is configured in there as well. And this sort of gives you consistency as well. But we're going to talk now about Orchestrator. So that was the process using Service Manager. I can, for Orchestrator, the thing that's most talked about for Orchestrator is automation, right? But Orchestrator is also a really good tool to integrate a couple of systems that may not have had a link before. Orchestrator and the automation process uses these things called runbooks, okay? What are runbooks? Well, runbooks can be thought of much in the same way as a service request was being listed, right? I had all these activities, which are the steps that I will follow in order to perform that process. Runbooks contain these activities as well, but they're a list of the individual steps that you need to perform a task. Okay, so you'll drag activities which are available through these things called integration packs. Some of them already come with the system, like Active Directory. Some are pre-released by Microsoft. You can get one for Exchange. You can get some for the System Center suite. You can even get some to conduct activities from within VMware now if you want. And then you can drag those into your Orchestrator runbooks and run through that process. So essentially a runbook is a recipe for automation. Now, if I want to use a runbook for the add remove user process, what are some of the ways I can do it? Well, I can use just generic activities like a run script activity and basically code it all, well, not code it, but basically script it all in PowerShell, and I can have that run in the activity, and then, you know, I don't need any special integration packs to get that done. I can also leverage the existing integration packs in the system, like Active Directory, create user, define password. I can randomize the password, so on and so forth, which I'm going to demonstrate in a simple run book that we have over here. But there's a variety of different ways that I can supply inputs to these runbooks. I can type it in myself, like I can create a user prompt of sorts. I can supply, if I have a connector to Exchange or to an email system, I can supply the inputs via email, which I'm actually going to demonstrate how we did that in scenario number 3, where we did for our customer-facing scenario. I've got a variety of different options for that, right? Same thing goes for the delete user process. Now, what if, I kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit earlier. If there's no integration pack for the activities that I want to perform, in this case it's simple enough, add remove user process, you could expect that in the Active Directory integration pack I will have most activities that I want to perform that process. But what if I don't have the activity? Right? And actually, we've got just that scenario in scenario number 3 where we didn't have the activity. We're actually running through an Orchestrator runbook to create a user, but we had to take the user's input in form of an email. So we had to do that monitoring a mailbox. And I'll show you how we accomplish that. So That said, automation is a pretty up-and-coming process. I mean, it's, I think in the story of cloud, automation is really gonna be the make it or break it scenario, where the competing companies can do it or not. So when we use Orchestrator, what do we gain? Well, we gain consistency and we gain predictability. So if you're adding and remove users to your organization, your big company, you're doing that 100,000 times in a month, these standard and non-standard tasks, a way to make them compliant with your business process is to feed them through a runbook. And that it allows you to ensure sort of consistency and predictability in that process. Now, much in the same way as I demonstrated in Service Manager, Orchestrator also has logs that will show you what was done with the process as you run through. So you've got a digital footprint there also. Some of the benefits of automation also include the fact that you're not running repetitive tasks. So you've now got time to do other things, right? You can now focus on that new project you didn't get to deploy for the next for the last 2 years. Or you can improve the process, right? Orchestrator and automation involves these three things that my colleague Colin Smith likes to say, is it involves people, process, and technology. Now, the technology per se, out of that adage, is always the easiest thing. The people in the process is usually the hardest part, right? The other thing about Orchestrator is it provides integration. So let's say you've got an Active Directory and you want to send an alert when you create a user in Active Directory. You can connect your Exchange system to your Active Directory system so that when a user gets created, an email gets generated, and you can have that as an additional digital footprint, right? Well, Active Directory doesn't do that by default, although you can have some, you've got some elements of Exchange in Active Directory. It doesn't connect in that way. Orchestrator allows you to do that. So, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. Anything that you do quickly and efficiently comes with a caveat. You have to make sure that when you're running through this, that you know exactly what you're doing and that you're familiar with the entire process end to end. So if you've got a sort of a cruddy process for your add remove users and then you feed it into a runbook, you're going to have a cruddy process that occurs a lot more often and faster. Right? So you have to make sure that you understand that process pretty well. So just like if any of you have taken a PowerShell course, and they, like in System Center, all the products are exposed using PowerShell as well, you know that you can accomplish a lot very, very quickly. And that in and of itself is a form of automation as well, right? And they tell you, you know, just make sure you know what you're doing, because you can make changes across many systems all at once very quickly. All right, so that said, let me demonstrate how we did this using Orchestrator. Okay, so I've got my Orchestrator system over here, and I've got a simple runbook that we've created for this process. So what this runbook does, I'll just quickly show you. It's going to monitor a folder. It's going to parse a text file. It's going to create a random password, which is going to be used to supply as an input. And then it's going to leverage the Active Directory create user task or activity. And then it's going to go and create that into Active Directory. So simple enough. All of this was more or less done with PowerShell, right? So I've got the monitor folder task, which goes and it monitors this new user folder over here. Nothing complicated. And it parses for a text file. And I've provided some field over here, right? I'm getting the content of the file name, and I'm supplying it a first name and a last name, and then I'm removing the file name so for future processing of that runbook. So here I've supplied some parameters around the random password generation text. It's just basically creating a new random text string, but it's got some parameters, right? It's got three lowercase characters, three uppercase characters, two numbers in there, and one symbol as part of the password that gets generated randomly. Now that could be part of the business process that you've got configured in your Active Directory. And then I go through and I create the Active Directory user. So here I've hard-coded where I want to create it. So I've supplied the common name for the organizational unit, and I'm supplying a parameter that gets published from Active Directory using the input that I provide. And I'm providing some other fields, right? Like I've got a company field, I've got a display name, first name, last name, SAM account name. These are all things that Active Directory needs in order to actually publish it. So now let's go through and run the publish over here. All right, so I was actually working with a PowerShell MVP named Sean Kearney on the government project in Service Manager. And we were building a migration tool with PowerShell to go from one environment to the other. And I was kidding around with him with the notion of creating GUI front-end to these PowerShell tools. So he went a little bit nuts and he created this short little input mechanism for our runbook. So let's go ahead and supply the information. So I'll go and just define first name, last name, and then I press the run through, and it's going to go through my runbook, which is already configured over here. Now this monitor email, we just left that. We copied the tab from another activity, from another runbook, and then it's not actually relevant to what's going on, but it's now going to run through all these activities, right? So if I look at the log, I can see based on the timestamp that it's going through. Should be fairly quick. Might be dealing with a little bit of a refresh scenario here. All right. Anyway, let's let's just try quick to connect to the Active Directory and see if that All right. So that process should run through. I'm not going to dwell on it too much. It appears to be a little bit slow connecting to the Active Directory. I think there's a question over here. Yeah, but it didn't. Well. Well, yeah, but I should see, so you believe it's run already. I should see that show up in the history, though. Oh, there we go. Okay. So then if I look in, if I look inside, I should see all the activities that's run through. Yeah, you're right. I was looking at the start time and not the end time, eh? Okay, so you can see the activities that have run through, right? It's run through the monitor folder. It's gone and parsed the text file using PowerShell, created a random password, and then it's gone through and created the user in Active Directory. I'm just having a little bit of trouble actually connecting to the DC to show you that, but let's just believe that it's there. You all believe me, right? That it's been created? Okay. All right, so that's just the same process in Service Manager as in Orchestrator. We just kind of ran through a very simple situation of it, right? Or a very simple example. Okay, so that was our add remove user process in Orchestrator. So now let's expand that out, and we'll actually leverage the, we'll create that same process, but we'll use the two systems integrated. We'll use Service Manager and we'll use Orchestrator, and this is in fact our customer scenario, right? So what our customer wanted us to do was they are using Service Manager, but they're focusing primarily on the incident request module. They did, however, want to take advantage of the service request module to leverage their add remove user process, and they wanted to potentially look at doing that through the self-service portal to empower their champions to make the matter quicker. Now that said, at the end of the day, we didn't end up going through the self-service portal. That's more of a future consideration that I'll speak to in a bit. Now the reason for that was not because it didn't work. It worked. They actually got a little gun shy. Now, again, the whole idea of people, process, and technology, right? So they didn't like the idea that they had to train their champions on connecting through the self-service portal and then how to go through that. They wanted to keep their existing system, which was to leverage a web form where the champion would request a user account, would fill in some data, and that would go through their email system and provide the fields needed. They used to have that going through another system, okay, which they didn't automate. They did sort of a makeshift process like I showed using a different ticketing system, right? They had manual activities, they went through and they did that, but we automated that process using Service Manager. We've got the service request that gets created and some manual activities that get created with using the title as part of the runbook, but we feed that through using Orchestrator. Okay, so what one of the first things we did was we gathered all those requirements from the customers. So we asked them, you know, what format do you need your data coming in? They said it comes in through an email system. We've got a web form that comes up, so we go in, we supply username, password, whatever we want. We supply city, manager, phone number, some of those attributes which are all familiar with an Active Directory, right? And then we supply it using the email system to our existing ticketing system. Well, as it turns out, Orchestrator didn't do that super nicely. However, we were able to process the input using XML. So what we did was we actually had the IT department keep their email from the existing web form, but create an attachment, an XML attachment, and provide that output, right, of all that user data, which we used to feed into Orchestrator. Slight change, but nothing from the end user's perspective, all in the back end. Their additional requirements were they didn't want to change the experience for their different department champions. They also wanted, to integrate with the service request module. Also, for future consideration, they may go and integrate into the self-service portal. And they wanted to provide validation of success or failure, which is exactly how their existing system was working, right? It was providing email validation based on success or failure. So here's how we did it. We audited their existing process. So we figured out how it is that they're doing it today, and that's using the web form. And then what they did was we had their IT department create that XML attachment, which we then used as input into the Orchestrator runbook. Okay? and we just kind of mapped to that process. Now, we didn't change their existing user request experience because the branch champions still do it in the same way. They go to that web form, supply the data. They don't even know that there's a new system in place. They still get the email validation, so on and so forth. We also integrated with the service request module in Service Manager. We did that using existing activities in Orchestrator. And then we provided validation of success or failure using email. We also leveraged Service Manager to create the service request for tracking. And we provided some manual activities for validation. Now, I did not include that in this demo. However, it is present on the customer side. I'll show you the process. You could easily think how the runbook could just be expanded to create activity leveraging published data, right? So challenges we had while trying to get this done are we had some challenges for the input. We weren't able to operate with the existing simple emails. Like we weren't able to get the MSG or EML files into Orchestrator. We had to come up with a new format, which we did. We had them create an XML attachment, and then we used that to create the data. And I'll demonstrate that process. I'll sort of go through it part of the way, or I'll show you how the email can work with it as well. We also had to determine what data to parse. So we had to work with the customer to determine exactly what data from Active Directory they're using in their form, because each time they fill out the web form, it could be different. So we had to work with them and go through their different departments and get some sort of consistent business process for stuff that they're always using, and then map that into the XML field. So that's pretty much the gist of it. Now, in order to handle the email input, there was no existing process to do that. Okay? So what we did was we leveraged a community integration pack that we got off CodePlex called Scorch Dev. And that one has an activity in there that we brought in the integration pack. It works with Service Pack 1. It worked with pre-Service Pack 1. Worked just fine. And we leveraged the Exchange connector in Service Manager as well to provide the data back and forth, and then we just performed the tasks that we needed to do. So result is customers happy, right? All right, so let's go and demonstrate that process for you. Okay. So back to our system over here. Okay, it just appears to be a little bit slow. Uh-oh. Okay, let me try quickly to connect. If not, I've got a video of this, and I'll show you exactly how we did it. Okay, well, it's looking good so far. We'll try one more time, and if that doesn't work, we'll flip to the video. I don't want to waste all day on this. Okay. All right, to the video it is. Apologize for the connectivity issues, everyone, but I've got a backup, so we're going to be all set here. Okay, so what I did here was I flipped into the system. And this is the runbook that I'm demonstrating over here. I may have to skip through different sections of the video. I'm just talking about the different pieces over here. The main work we did inside the monitor, this is the create user runbook right here. And I'm just demonstrating some fields. Then what we're doing is we're actually getting the user information from SCSM. And we're going through the create user process. And we're sending an email for validation. Now, the monitor email runbook is where we're doing most of our work. So we're initializing data from the system. And we're actually creating a large PowerShell script where we go and we monitor for different scenarios. We've actually got several runbooks that are set up. It could be an add user, it could be a delete user, it could be a move user from OU to another, or it could be a transfer user process. Now the transfer user process was simply changing attributes in Active Directory where he's going from one user to another, from one department to another. So here, let me pause this. So what I did was I flipped to my client system in this case. This was on the service manager box. And I'm going to create the input that we're going to supply to the runbook. So that's using this XML file right here. So let me zoom into that. So you can see over here that we saw the process needed a first name and a last name, right? So in the XML file, you just basically fill in the first name and the last name, and then you take that email as an attach, or you take that XML file as an attachment, and you supply it via email to a mailbox, which we're monitoring, and then it goes through the runbook. So I'll just continue the video right here. So I'm saving that file, and now I just go through in the email, and I compose a new email, and I send it to the help desk SR account, which we created for that runbook process. We defined a service account called help desk SR in the SCSM, which we're going to monitor that mailbox on the orchestrator server using the runbook, and we're supplying this XML attachment. So then back on the orchestrator server, I'm monitoring the, making sure that my runbooks are running. And then you can see that there's a new email that comes into the help desk SR mailbox. So what should happen here is that'll get processed. As long as the email is marked unread, that'll get processed by the monitor mailbox activity. And it'll get fed through the runbook, right? So the email will come in. We'll take the XML content. We'll create the new user. So here you can see that it's run through all of the activities, and then it'll go into the create user process. All right. Now, in this particular case, I had to troubleshoot it last night. I don't need to show you all that. It's a live video demo. So there you go. All right, this is me troubleshooting. You don't need to see all that boring process. Let's just go through and show you that the darn thing worked. It's called Brad troubleshooting and forgetting that Camtasia is recording the whole thing. There may have been a few swear words in there too. Okay, did that work? Okay, not forward enough. Anyway, all right, so you can see that the thing appeared to run through at a certain point, and it created the account for MMS 2014, which was what I was trying to get done. Except that I didn't remember I was trying to create MMS 2014, so... So here you go. You've got the MVP Summit user that got created and ran through the runbook, and that's the process. A little bit of a shorter demo. I would have rather talked through some of it, but the process works. We've actually got this running live with a customer now, and it goes into SCSM, and it creates the service request. I can probably show you that because it appears that, no, we got disconnected from there too. That's awesome. All right. So... what that did is it went behind the scenes and created the service request with the title of that email that I sent, right? So whatever I type as the subject line in the email, create user, that'll show up as the title of the service request that got created in Service Manager. Now for the customer, we went a little bit further and we actually leveraged that title and created some activities to provide them a workflow to continue processing and do things like supply a phone, right? The customer had that process as well. So that's how we got that done. All right, so let's go back to our slides. Yeah, we have a question? I'm sorry? How did the info get into the XML file that I sent? So in the customer process, that comes from a web form. Okay, so they have actually a web interface that's set up that they don't want to maintain, but they're maintaining it temporarily because they don't want to change their user experience while the SCSM product was being put in place as a project. Right? So they wanted to leverage, they wanted to get their SCSM in place, but they wanted to continue the same experience where they have their ad remove user process. So they're still using that same web form that they've got to supply the data, and that creates an email with the XML attachment. Now, this is part of what I was going to talk to you of as future considerations. The customer wants to do away with that web application because they don't have the developer who made it anymore to maintain it. Surprise, I'm sure you've never heard of that happening. Now, so what we can do is we're actually going to leverage the self-service portal in Service Manager today and create a service request, a service offering and a request offering where they request the new Active Directory user. So what we're going to do is in the request offering, we're actually going to create that form sort of similar to the one that they have in their web application with all those questions and provide the data from the CMDB, right? Because that's already coming into Active Directory. If any data is missing, we're going to extend the appropriate classes and make sure that gets done. But I believe we've got everything needed from the get-go anyways. I don't think there's a single attribute that there's no like extended attributes they're using. It's all like city, phone number, department name, things like that, stuff that comes into the CMDB as it is. And it can come in either using Configuration Manager or Active Directory connector in their case, so it gets populated. So when we create the request offering and the service offering, that form will come up. They'll fill it out from the self-service portal. So that means that the branch champion just logs onto the website, sees the service offering, and says, Active Directory account request, goes into there. Request offering can be create new user, transfer user, decommission user, move user. And then they'll have, that's the request offering, and then they'll fill out the form. So that would be how they'd get their data. Now, that said, we no longer have to follow the same approach and go through an email monitoring system at that point either, because you're using the self-service portal, you're now feeding from a different source. We can use the service manager activities to supply the data from the SSP directly into Orchestrator from there. We can kind of eliminate that email monitoring process. Fair enough? Okay, so that is the premise of the future scenario that we want to talk about for this customer. We want to leverage the self-service portal. Now, doing that, the benefit that they get is that the branch champion can actually do the request. They no longer have to pick up the phone or send an email to help desk to go and populate that form, right? They can actually do it themselves, and the service request gets created. Now, the help desk's role is no longer to actually create that request, but it's more to, during the QA period, when they're sure that the business process is being done correctly, they'll validate that everything gets done well, and they'll inform the branch champion when the process is done. But later on, once they're satisfied everything's been done, they can simply be sit in the background for that entire process, right? And then they would only be notified if something fails, because we've got that validation piece, which would, instead of, you could A, let the branch champion know when it's done on success, but you could let the help desk know based on failure if something goes wrong. Make sense? So that's what we're going to do going forward as a future consideration. So doing this, our customer is actually going to get some of the benefits of cloud computing. They're achieving self-service, right? So they've got Service Manager and they've got Orchestrator in the organization. So they're getting one of the tenets of cloud computing. They're going to get others as they advance some of their maturity in their business process and so forth. But it's on the road and getting things done towards cloud computing, right? Okay, so I spoke to you about the manual process of add remove users, which is something we do tons. I showed you how to do it very simple way using Service Manager. I showed you how to do that just using Orchestrator as well. Take into consideration that these are building blocks that you can use to accomplish the customer-facing scenario that I demonstrated for you, which is pretty complex, right? You've got a web form, separate input, that feeds into an email system, which we generated an XML attachment that then feeds into the runbook, and the runbook is monitoring for that, monitoring that inbox, has a process where it takes care of that email, and then parses the data through the system and creates the user, transfers the user, deletes the user, whatever, depending on the content of that XML data. And it also creates a service request behind the scenes with that digital footprint of what's going on. Right, it uses the title of the email to populate the title of the service request. And we also went a little deeper and provided some manual activities to include things like the ability to supply their user with a phone. Okay? All right, so that's all I have for you today. I hope you enjoyed the presentation. Please remember to fill out your evals, but I'm available for questions for a little while, and in fact, I've got some books here to give away from my colleague Anders Asp of Sweden, Microsoft System Center 2012 Service Manager Cookbook. I've got 3 copies to give away for questions. Has anybody got any? Okay, now it's like staring into an airfield with these lights.
All right, I got a question. Right here.
Okay.
Testing, go ahead. Testing.
Go ahead.
All right. So in the self-service form, is a right now we use a web form as well. We're using a an InfoPath form, and we're dynamically populating those drop-down boxes based upon previous selection. So if you select a company, it'll then go into another go into a web service and then populate like all the departments for that company. Is that possible through the self-service form in Service Manager?
So the question was, right now they're using, it's very similar to what my customer's doing. They're using a web form and they've got drop downs which will populate things like it'll populate things like the company name, probably. I don't know all the attributes you're saying, but you want to know if it's possible using the self-service portal. So the answer is very simply, so users in Active Directory today are configuration items, okay? So they get pulled in using a variety of methods. You can either put them there yourself, you can populate it using a CSV or whatever, or you can use the Active Directory connector. So the attributes that are defined on those configuration items, any attribute that's in there, you can map to that using your web form, right? So what that means is that's actually published data that you can get at through the self-service portal. So when you create your request offering, you can actually leverage that information, and it's a direct map because the data already exists, right? So you're just basically populating new information into the CMDB and then consequently potentially maybe running that through a runbook, or you'll set that up with your own business process to set up the user. Make sense? Okay, so whoever you are, because I can only see light, come up and get your book. Thank you. So the question was, when you're I'm going to get you to repeat that because I only heard part of it. When you're automating your new user request, are they enabled by default? Is that what you want to know, or something else? Okay, so you've got to use delegated security to do this stuff, right? So when you're actually creating the user in Active Directory, sure, it could be enabled. It could also be disabled, right? It depends on how you use the activity. Now, that said, I don't know if this is, but it's relevant from the sense that you've got some things that you can do with that process outside of just creating the user. You've got some flexibility around, do you actually have to define that password? You have to define something, because that's a required aspect. But that said, you can stage the creation process and push that out to, say, a security department. Because let's say, as opposed to a manager approval, you wanted to put that through to a security department approval for compliance, where they would issue, say, a FOB, and then they would verify for security clearance. And we deal with government customers. This stuff happens all the time. So once the security department gives the approval, then it would continue through the runbook and go through. Does that did I hit your question? Okay. Come up and get your book.
Is this on?
Front row. Okay, so the question was, if I actually go through this process, but I've got a separate process with HR that has a dissimilar system where it has creates a form, much like what I did manually, but now you've probably already got some custom forms, yes? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this one's a little bit tricky because when we're talking about Service Manager and Orchestrator, you're using the connectors to get the data, and you're using the AD connector. So as long as that data is available in AD, it'll populate in the CMDB, so there's a direct map, right? So you do where the gentleman asked me about the self-service portal, and he said, you know, how do I make sure that that data becomes available? The trick is that if that data is available in the configuration items, and see, it's an easy map. Now, your trick, where you're using a form, may involve data that does not exist, right, in the form. So you actually have to either bridge the gap in some way by making assumptions and providing potentially hard-coded entries, or else, in some cases, you could even extend the classes. I know in the case for our customer, we're actually doing some IT asset management, and we're doing that using Provence. The Provence as a suite extends the classes. Like, for example, a user, they want to know if a user has monitors or PDA devices and not just computers, right? Because they can get that information from Config Manager using the user affinity. But they also want to know what monitors the user has. They want to know if they've got a phone. They want to know if they've got a BlackBerry. And all this stuff gets assetized, but they use extended classes for that. So the trick in your case is you likely either have to go through some sort of a hard coding bridge, or else you'll have to extend the classes to accomplish that connection. Make sense? I can get in more specifics with you if you like. We can take that offline, but I'm just kind of theorizing how you may accomplish that link. Make sense? Okay. So here's your book. I can take other questions. I don't have other books to give away. But
so I've got another question over here.
We've got some time. Go ahead.
So you've shown a couple of examples here today where, you know, the workflow engines in Service Manager and Orchestrator are both capable of doing the same thing.
Right.
You showed a scenario where you've placed a portion of that workflow into one engine and a portion of the workflow into another engine.
Yes.
And we're seeing a lot more of this overlap where there are a lot of custom processes and workflows that get defined that could potentially exist or partially exist in one versus the other.
Correct.
It further gets complicated, even with the example that we looked at today, with a problem like Forefront Identity Manager that also has its own workflow engine.
Right.
So it becomes a question of what are the criteria that you establish for determining the proper place, the proper workflow engine to use for those given components of the processes?
Okay. So the gentleman had a very, very interesting question. About the fact that Orchestrator and Service Manager can do some of the same things when you're leveraging the workflows and triggers and responses and so forth. And he said, well, what are some of the questions that I have to ask as to which system is appropriate? Well, so the answer in this case is going to be, if you can do everything in the same product, do so. Because you're maximizing your investment and you're minimizing the digital footprint required. Okay, so let me qualify that. So I'm not saying Orchestrator is not a great product. However, it has an infrastructure requirement to set it up. If I could accomplish that same thing using just SCSM, why not? Right? If I don't have an integration requirement with a dissimilar system, or I don't have an automation requirement that is not accomplishable simply outside Service Manager, and Service Manager meets my needs, stick to the product, right? Because you've made an investment. You've architected that product to suit your org. So leveraging Orchestrator just because it can automate when you can do the same thing in SCSM seems kind of unnecessary. Make sense?
Yeah, great.
Okay. More questions? So the question was, can you do Orchestrator with third-party apps? Well, I already mentioned you can do Orchestrator with VMware. So as long as there's an integration pack, or you can connect to third-party apps using PowerShell or some other systems, sure. Then you can use or the Orchestrator runbooks and activities. Okay? Did I answer your question, or do you have a follow-up? Okay. More questions? Okay.
Are you guys using
Fin? Mm-hmm.
Are you guys using Fin? So the company I'm working for right now is.
Yeah.
I've just started.
So you were going between orchestrator and operations manager, or you were going between service manager and operations manager? And what? Oh, I see. Okay, I didn't demonstrate this. So the question was, the gentleman was doing one of the self-paced labs, and he was he's got the two systems linked. He's got operations manager and he's got orchestrator, and he's likely got the connector configured between orchestrator and operations manager, and he's got he's got the subscription criteria configured in operations manager to provide the information to orchestrator. But in orchestrator, the alerts didn't seem to be coming. So the question to me was, what sort of debugging tools are there in order to figure out what's not working? Well, the answer to that, and I didn't, there's a connectivity issue, and I apologize for that. If we get some time, I'll see if I can't find a way to do this for you. In Orchestrator, I demonstrated the runbook designer, and that's fine and good. That's where most of the runbooks run in when they're checked in. But to debug your runbook, like I was actually doing this a little bit in the video, I didn't show you that step. If you check out the runbook from the runbook designer, you can run through the runbook tester. And what that allows you to do is it allows you to run through the runbook and define breakpoints, okay? And then you can step through the orchestrator runbook to each individual breakpoint. And what you do is you pause it at the breakpoint and you have a look at what the status is of the variables or the different sets of data that's coming in. And you can define from that if your system is responding the way it is. And you can actually see where it's failing. Make sense? Okay. More questions? All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a good rest of the session.